Tonight I want to preach to you a message that the Lord has given me on simply this. And if you're writing this down tonight, let God write your story. Now, every one of us here tonight, your story of your life is being written day by day. In fact, there'll be a day coming, we don't know when that day is, when the pastor, whoever that may be, is standing and talking about your life. And he's going to, in a simple form, he is going to share the story of your life. What are people going to say? Are people going to say there was a man who loved God and loved his family? That'd be a great thing. Are they going to say there is a lady who loved her husband and loved her children and was faithful to God? Will they say about you as a teenager, there is a young man, a young lady that had a heart for God? What is your story going to say? Now, I want to ask you this, and I'm sure that you would agree with me. There are chapters in your life and in my life that I would like to take out. In fact, there are God-ordained chapters in your life and in my life that we had no control over, but God brought them to our life, and we would really rather tear out those chapters. I'm sure that you have books in your home, and I have books in my study and books here at the office. And you know what? There's some chapters when I read maybe a story, a biography, or whatever it may be, there are certain chapters that are really special to me. I might even turn the page on that chapter so that I go back to it. In fact, for me, my wife tells me sometimes, honey, you know, once you read at night, I say, honey, when I read, I get stirred up, you know, when I read. Because when I read, it's like, man, I need to preach that. I need to talk about that, you know? And for me, reading is not relaxing. It is work and labor. Because I've got a pen and I'm writing things down in the book and all kinds of different things. But you know what? Some chapters I read and I write. I put a star at the top of the page. This is an important chapter. This is an amazing truth. But may I say this to you? There are some chapters that God has orchestrated for your life that we don't want those chapters. Chapters of trials and chapters of heartaches and chapters of sorrow and chapters. But may I tell you that that is a part of the story of your life. Brethren, tonight, we, most of us here, want to write the story of our own life. We've got it all figured out. Well, this is what I want to happen, and this is what I want to be included in the story of my life, and this is what I want. But be careful tonight, because when you start writing your own story, you will make a mess of your life. Tonight, there is only one person that is qualified to write the story of your life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Let God write your story. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, let's read tonight Jeremiah 29 and verse number 11. I want to read one verse here, and we're going to look at many verses in God's Word. Jeremiah chapter 29 in verse number 11. The Lord says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Now, what is God telling to the people here? Jeremiah the prophet is prophesying to them, and the people have been through great trials, and we could read the entire chapter, but they have been in captivity because of their sin and their disobedience to God. And God is saying to them, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And what an amazing truth that is, that there is a God in heaven who is thinking about you and me right now. He is dwelling. Tonight I want to preach. Don't have God's attention for a certain amount of time in the day or a certain amount of time in the week. You have 100% of God's undivided attention every moment of every day. He sees you tonight. He knows you by name. look, if a sparrow can fall to the ground and God says, how much more value are you? Listen, brethren, there is a God in heaven who looks at us, who sees us tonight, who is, his attention is upon us tonight. He is looking at us and he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Why? To give you an expected end. Why does the prophet here say not of evil? Because the very thing that the devil wants you to believe about God is that he will ruin your life if you let him write your story. When I was at a dilemma in my life on whether or not I give my life to the Lord, you know what the devil told me? He said, son, if you let God write the story of your life, if you surrender your life to God without any reservations, then you're going to be a miserable person. And you're never going to have any fun. And if you really serve God, you're going to be miserable and never have any enjoyment in life. Listen, that is the greatest lie of the devil right there. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. There is no joy like letting God write your story. There is no peace like letting God write your story. Take your Bibles and let's go to Psalm chapter number 90. Psalm chapter number 90. You see, today we might think of heroes. And by the way, what is a hero today? You know what? I'm all for, I love watching football, and Thursday night's coming up, Buckeyes' first game, and I think we need to cancel school on Friday because we're going to be up. No, I'm joking, all right? But, you know, I enjoy that. I look forward to that. I enjoy sports and all of that. But is it the sports figures? Are they the real heroes of our land today? Not really. Can I tell you who the real heroes are? They are not the ones that make the giant salaries and the big celebrities and the ones that are known in the news. The heroes of today are the men and women and the teenagers and the boys and girls that are allowing God to write the story of their life. They are basically saying to a holy God, God, I'm going to mess it up. I'm not going to take the pen. I give you the pen. I surrender my life to you. I want you to write my story. I want you to write the story from the beginning to the end. I want your choice on who I'm to marry one day. I want your choice on where I'm to go and what I'm to do with my life. It is not for me to say, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to live, and this is my dreams in life. No, the one who gives God the pen says, God, you write the story. You tell me what you want me to do. Because, brethren, there is a God in heaven who made each and every one of us tonight for a specific plan, for a specific purpose, and we will only be fulfilled when we let God write our story. Psalm chapter 90 reveals something to us. This is the oldest psalm in God's word, and it's written by Moses at the end of his life. Psalm 90, would you notice? Let's start in verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. Notice this. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Look here, every one of us tonight, your life is going to come down to a tale that is told. What are people going to say about your life? Now look, I don't believe that we should live a certain way so that people can say, wow, look at what they did and look at what they accomplished. No, that's not the purpose. That's not the plan tonight. But there is coming a day when your life and my life will be a tale that is told. It's going to be a story. What will the story be? The story might be, as it is for some men and women in God's Word, they tried to write their own story. Number one tonight, we must resist writing our own story. Go back to Jeremiah because I want to show you something very important. Jeremiah chapter number 45. Why should you and I not try to write our own story? Can I tell you this? It is simply because you and I do not know what is best for our lives. And you know, that seems like a simple statement, but do you really believe that in your heart? Teenager, do you really believe that you don't know what is best for your life? While you're turning to Jeremiah 45, I want you to notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12. Let me read it to you. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do you know tonight, if we are going to allow God to write the story of our life, and you may say, well, Pastor, I'm already 50 and 60 and 70 years of age. It's too late for me. Brethren, it's never too late for you to allow God to write the story of your life. In fact, I'm reminded of Rahab and God's Word. You know what? Rahab's life, she didn't have a very good beginning, did she not? She didn't, but praise God, she came to a point where she accepted Jesus Christ, placed her faith and trust in the Lord, and then she said, God, I want you to write the story of my life. And guess what God did? God let her come into the very bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because she let God write the story of her life. You know, John R. Rice did not even start preaching until he was in his 50s. You know what? He came to a point in his life where he said, God, write the story of my life. Listen, brethren, God doesn't need 10, 20, 30 years in your life. God just wants day by day. And when we give ourselves to God, when we stop trying to write the story of our own life. You know, when you were just a little kid and when I was just a little kid, you know, people would say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know what? I think that's a very dangerous thing to do. Because it doesn't matter what you and I want to be when we grow up. It doesn't matter about you and I writing our own story. What matters is, what has God created for me to do with my life? That's what matters. Brethren, resist trying to write your own story. Jeremiah 45, verse 5 says this, and seekest thou great things for thyself? Now let's stop and let's think about that. Do you know that we seek great things for ourselves? Do we not? It's human nature. We want to seek great things for ourselves. There is no one here that says, well, I want my life to be a destruction. I want to be miserable, Pastor Samples. I want my life to be a complete failure. That's what I want. No, we all want great things for ourselves. We want a great home and we want a great marriage and we want children to honor and serve God. We want that tonight. But God says, seekest thou great things for thyself? Let's read on. Seek them not. Now that's very important. God says, stop seeking to have great things for yourself. You want some great, grand life. God says, don't seek that. Why? Because, brethren, the key tonight is not seeking great things. It is seeking our great Savior. God wants to write your story. God desires to write the story of your life. We must resist trying to write our own story. You know something, there is always a battle within your soul and my soul. You see, when I was 17 years of age and I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, 3 months later, you know what I did after reading God's Word and spending time in prayer? I took the pen of my life and I said, here you go, Jesus, take my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated unto Thee. Lord, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Lord, here's the story of my life. I can still remember. I could take you to Temple Baptist Church and I could show you where I knelt down and I got on my face and I said, God, I don't know what You want me to do. But Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do with my life. You know what I was saying to God? God, here's the pen. God, write my story. Lord, I'll make a mess of my life. I will destroy the life that you've given me. Write my story. Brethren, tonight we must resist trying to write our own story. Why? Because we'll make a destruction of our life. But can I tell you also why we must resist? Because your life is not your own. The Bible tells us, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, we must see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. Boy, this is so important to understand. You see, tonight, the life that God has given you is His life. Your story is not your story. It is God's story. But the great danger is when you and I try to write our own story, we never get it right. You know why? Because we can't see the big picture. You know, here it is. God created you and gave you life. Can I just, if you don't mind, Isaac and Kayla, letting me use your son tonight in illustration, little Titus. How old is he now? A month old on Wednesday. We ought to have a birthday party, you know. But anyway, all right? Little Titus. Now, look, he doesn't know much right now. And he knows he loves his mama. He knows his daddy looks a little funny. But, you know, that's all he knows right now, okay? And but little Titus, do you know that God knew before the foundation of the world that little Titus Carpenter would be born here just a month ago? God already knew that. God already knew that He would bring Isaac and Kayla together. God already knew that. He had that plan before the world ever began. And God knew, I'm going to give a little boy to Isaac and Kayla. His name, they're going to call him Titus. I already know that. And God said, well, I've got a special plan for this little boy. God already knows what He wants to do with Titus' life. God's already made a way for Titus to be saved and go to heaven. Now, it has to be Titus' choice to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. But God's already said, I've already got your story written. And it's a great story. It's a story. He's thinking about the story right now, all right? And but God already has a plan for his life. Can I tell you something tonight? There's going to come a time in Titus' life when he must choose to accept Jesus Christ. But there's going to be many times in which he will have to say to God, God, you've already written the story of my life. And Lord, I'm trusting you by faith that it is a wonderful story. And God, write the story. Lord, here it is. You see, tonight, when you take the pen out of God's hand, you make a mess of things. When you take the pen out of God's hand, the God who loves you, the God who created you, the God who has designed a wonderful story for your life, when you take it out of His hands, and guess what? There's a God in heaven who will not force you. He'll not say, give that back to me. You're going to ruin your life. No, God will say, okay, go ahead. Try to write your own story. You see, what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19, it says, what? The question there is not a question of not knowing. It is a question of exclamation. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Tonight, brethren, can I tell you something? The story of your life itself, does not belong to you. We live in a world today that talks about rights. This is my body. This is my life. And I can do what I want to do with my body and my life. It is my decision. The child of God that is surrendered to Jesus Christ does not have that spirit. Because the child of God that is letting God write the story of their life is saying to God, this is not my life. It is the life that you have given me. My life is not my own. I am bought with the price. And God, write the story of my life. Take my life. All of it. You think about people in God's word that have taken the pen out of God's hand and tried to write their own story. What about Demas? Do you know what the story of his life says? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's all that we know about Demas' life. You know why? Because Demas said, this life of serving God, it's getting tough. And I'm not going to follow after God anymore. So he took the pen from God, and the story of his life, Demas forsook me, having loved this present world. What about Samson? You know, Samson was one of the most privileged men to ever walk the face of the earth. We think of Samson just his supernatural strength. But Samson, God created him to do a specific work. But guess what happened to Samson? He tried to write his own story. He would not obey God. And guess what? At the end of Samson's life, you know one of the story of his life? He's blind and he's grinding and he's like an animal. And the story of his life ends because Samson took the pen from God. What about Lot? We studied him last Wednesday night, and Lot chose for himself, did he not? Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked on all the well-watered plains of Sodom, and Lot chose to pitch his tent towards Sodom. Lot said, God, give me the pen back. I know what's best for me. Lord, I can see it, and this is what I want. And he lost his family. He lost everything. That was the story of Lot's life. He chose to write his own story. What about Achan? Achan, think about his wife. Can you think about his children? How precious and beautiful his family was. Look, if you'd have saw Achan and his family before he coveted and before he took of something that was forbidden by God, and before that, he was a beautiful family and the children, laughter coming to the home. But because Achan said, God, give me the pen back. I'm going to write my own story. Then Achan is on the hill. Can you see him there with his family? Can you see the children hovered around him weeping and crying? And as the rocks are coming and Achan is stoned and his family suffers because a man took the pen from the hand of God. And when you and I say no to God, and when we disobey his word and we do not yield to him, we say, God, give me the pen back. Resist writing your own story. Number two tonight, recognize who desires to write your story. Now, I've got news for you tonight. God will not force you to surrender to him. God is not going to come to the door of your heart and kick it in and say, you will serve me because I know what's best for you. And if you don't give your life to me, you're going to ruin and wreck your life. No, God has given us something called a free will. And God will never violate your free will. He won't. You know something tonight? Do you see that there is a God in heaven who is interested in you? Take your Bibles, go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. And I want to show this to you. Now look, I know what you may think tonight. You may think, Pastor, it is too late for me. That is a lie from the devil. That's a lie. Do you remember all throughout God's word, we see stories of people that even in their older years let God write the story of their own life? They said, God, I've made a mess of it for years, God. Lord, I've scribbled on my life, made a mess of it. Lord, I'm giving you the pen back. You know something? There is a God in heaven who will say, I love you. I've not taken my eyes off of you. I've seen all that you've done. But I'd be glad to take the pen of your life back from you. And I have something great for you. Oh, I have so much of the story is still left. And there's so much more that I want to do. Brethren, recognize tonight that there is a God in heaven. I can't describe it tonight. How much He loves you and how much He cares for you and how much He looks upon you tonight. Not in disdain, not in judgment, not in anger, not thoughts of evil, but thoughts of peace. A God who says, I've got a wonderful plan for you. Let me write it. Philippians 1:6, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13, notice this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now I want to stop and say this to you. You and I could never imagine what God wants to do in and through our lives. We have no idea. But brethren, I promise you this tonight. You and I will make a wreck of our lives. We will destroy our lives when we take things in our own hands. We become self-willed and self-consumed. And we think it's got to be our way. And we want this to be done. When you do that, it is a mockery in the face of a loving God. You see, tonight, recognize who it is that wants to write your story. You know something? Tonight, God thinks about you. He understands. And by the way, this morning I preached about friendships. And you know something? I am thankful for friendships. It is a wonderful, blessed thing. But brethren, even the best of friends don't think about you every moment of the day. I love my wife. She is my best friend. I believe she would say the same of me. I love being with her. Next July, we celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary. I'm taking her back to Atlanta, Georgia, where we got married at. I'm going to go to Stone Mountain there. And man, I'm so excited about that. I'm already saving for it. I got me a jug of quarters, and we're putting them in there. I'm serious about it. For Valentine's Day this past year, I bought my wife this giant glass jug, and I had this lettering put on there, and I had Aaron and Joy's anniversary trip jug. That's cool, isn't it? You know? I went and got a bunch of quarters and put them in there, and every time we get change, put it in the jug, you know? And you know what? I'm excited about that. I love spending time with her. I do think about my wife much. But I don't think about her every moment of the day. That's not even possible. And she doesn't think about me every moment of the day. That's impossible. But brethren, there is a God in heaven who does think about you every moment of every day. He looks upon you with joy. He looks upon you with love. He looks upon you saying, I want to take the pen and I want to write a beautiful story in your life. How many enjoys Christmas time? Would you raise your hand? The children have their hand raised, and the teenagers, you know. I love Christmas time, and I'll tell you why. We have a little system that we do, and I get to hand out the presents. I love watching my children open a present that we have worked and labored for and bought just for them, knowing that they will love that. And if you could see my face, I'm smiling and I'm waiting. I'm more excited about them. I'm kind of like, open it up, let's go, you know. My daughter, she's like tearing it off, like just rip into it, you know. Don't save the paper. Anybody here like to save the paper? Anybody here like that? All right, now, some of the ladies, I thought so. And, you know, the bows, man, rip the bows up, you know. We ain't saving no bows. And I'm like, but look, the joy that I have when I'm watching them. I bought something for you. I love you so much. And I got something just for you. Can I tell you something? Think of that and multiply that a billion times, and you're just beginning to understand what God says. God looks at Titus and God looks at all of us and says, boy, I've got a great life for you. I've picked it just for you. I designed it just for you. I made you to enjoy this. I made you to fulfill this. You are destined for this plan. And God says, let me write your story. I love you so much. Brethren, the Lord says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Oh, listen. Your life is so important to God that He is interested in you and He is working all things together. Brethren, God envisions an incredible future for you and me. It is that expected end. He's already got it all together. He knows about all of it. God's plan for your life is not only wonderful, but it is unique for you. Brethren, tonight you matter to God. You are on His mind and He is smiling at you. You know, the first day of school that we had here, and it's always exciting. Parents sometimes come in, and especially the K-5 parents, you know. This is big deal for them to come to school, and it is a big deal. And I'm always amazed. Sometimes the kids are going in the classroom. They're as happy as can be, and mom is leaving crying, you know. And she's weeping. Why? Because she loves her child. And it's a special thing. You know something, I seen this even tonight. The teens were up here. And you know something, the truth is, all kinds of parents are taking pictures. They're not taking pictures of everybody else's kid. They're taking pictures of their kid. They're smiling at their kid. Their eye is on their child. They love them. They're proud of them. They want them to serve God. They want them to have an expected end. Well, there is a God in heaven who looks at us and smiles at us. That God says, I love you. My thoughts about you are thoughts of peace, thoughts of joy, thoughts of an expected end. Oh, brethren, tonight, I think about men in God's Word. I think about Enoch. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Oh, the story that he let God write was a wonderful story. I think about Joseph, who his life has helped us with trials and tribulations, because through Joseph we know that ye meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good. You know what he was saying? God had the story written all the time, and I just gave the pen to him. I'm sure Joseph would say, boy, that chapter about when my brother sold me, that was a hard chapter, but God was writing that. God was even the author of that chapter. And when I did what's right and I got put in prison for Potiphar's wife lying about me, boy, God had to write that chapter. And that was hard. That was tough. But God was behind it all the time. God was giving me an expected end. Number three tonight, the last thing. Resist writing your own story. Recognize who wants to write the story of your life. And number three, simply, run to Jesus with your pen. You say, Pastor, what do we do with a message like this? Run to Jesus. Well, there's been times when I've sat in church before and the pastor has preached and God, the Holy Spirit, has gotten a hold of my heart that I have literally prayed, God, help the preacher to finish so I can get to the altar and I can run to the Lord and I can say, God, forgive me. God, help me. Lord, I give my pen. I give the story of my life to you. I want you to write my life. Oh, brethren, can you see a loving God tonight who desires to bless you? That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. That lets God write the story. Brethren, God always gives His best to those who leave the decision in His hands. You see, tonight, if you say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do with my life, then God will let you do that. But it won't be the story that God wants to write. You say, well, I'm going to live my life, and I've had people say, well, I'm going to do this first, and then I'll surrender my life to God. It doesn't work that way. You see, brethren, God wants the pen of our life. Give the pen of your life to a wise and loving God, and say, God, write the story of my life. Maybe some of us tonight need to come to a holy God and say, God, I took the pen back a long time ago, but here it is. You know, there's a God in heaven who can rewrite the story of your life. There's a God in heaven who can forgive us and cleanse us and wash us. We think about David, and you know what David did when he sinned against God with Bathsheba? He took the pen of the life away from his God. I believe tonight that David would say, oh, I wish I could go back to that one day. I wish that I had done what was right that one day and not taken the pen of my life from God. But you know what God did? God rewrote the story of David's life. Do you know that most of the Psalms were written after David's sin with Bathsheba? You see, brethren, God can do whatever He wants to you with your life. You say, I've made a mess. I've failed. Well, tonight, run to Jesus with your pen. Back in January, I was in Wisconsin at a preaching conference, and I don't go to a lot of them. I probably should go to more. But I was there, and when I was there, one of our missionary families was there. And the special family, I'm trying to think of their name right now. What Rains, thank you. My wife knows it all right? And Steve and Christina Rains with all their children. How many members of the Rains family? They came to our missions conference. We took them on. Great family. Well, we went out to eat before a service. We were at Cracker Barrel. And the kids were there, just good little kids, and playing that game where they try to get down to one little peg and all that kind of stuff. And I was playing with them and having a good time. And then I said to the kids, I said, all right, kids, we're about finished. And when we get done here, we're going to go over there where there's toys. And Cracker Barrel's got some cool toys, you know. And I said, we're going to go over there and you can pick anything out you want. Man, their eyes got big, and man, they were raking in the macaroni and cheese quickly, you know, and they were trying to get done because it was time for us. And boy, every once in a while, with the oldest boy, I don't know, he was probably 7, and he kept looking up. And he said, Pastor, we still going to go get some toys? I said, yes, sir, buddy, we're still going to do it. He wanted to remind me, make sure I didn't forget about that, you know. And sure enough, they were done, and they were all done, and I think they were working together. You done? Get finished quickly, because we got to go with some toys, you know. And then they looked at me and said, Preacher, we're done. I said, all right, let's go. And boy, they got up, and we marched over there to where all the toys were. And you know parents, you know how parents do. They say, look, don't get anything too expensive, you know, and don't buy anything like that. Well, those kids knew that, but that boy, that 7-year-old boy, he was pretty smart about it. He brought something over to me, and it wasn't very expensive. And he said, hey, preacher, what do you think about this? I said, buddy, if you like that, I'll buy that for you. That's perfectly fine. And he kind of looked at that a little bit and went back, you know. Then he found one of the most expensive things in the store, and he brought that over with him. And it was pretty cool looking, you know. And he said, hey, preacher, what do you think I should get right here? Well, let me tell you what he was doing. He knew something. He knew that I loved those kids. He knew that I was being generous that day. And you know what I did? I said, buddy, I think you should get that one, the more expensive one. He said, all right, I'll get that. Can I tell you what he did? He let me choose for him. He said, preacher, what do you think I should get? Can I tell you something? Let's let God choose for us. Let's give Him the pen of our life. God will always choose what is best for you. He will always choose what is right for you. He will always choose right. If we run to Jesus tonight and say, Lord, here's my pen. I give it to you. Lord, write the story of my life. There is a loving God who says, I'll be glad to write the story. And I've already got it written. I already know what I want you to do. And it's wonderful. And it's a blessed story. Because I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Let's pray together.